This morning, as we come to God's Word, I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, and we will read through verse 14. We will squeeze together some verses that we don't normally put together. We usually read them in isolation, but this morning we want to read them together. Here it says, building on what we shared together a couple of weeks ago about the Sabbath of the soul and how the Sabbath is a archetype of the kind of experience that we are to have with Jesus Christ. That there is a Sabbath-like rest that remains for the people of God. And following that journey, we now pick up some things about the Word of God. Here in verse 11, therefore let us be diligent to enter that rest, referring to the Sabbath-like rest that we learned about last time, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit be with us this morning as we journey together in this very familiar passage of Scripture and come to understand it from the setting of which you would speak to our hearts today. Bless us from above, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, do we have sound? Do we have picture up here? All right. I have always, like probably most young males, I have been fascinated with swords most of my life. Unfortunately, I have never personally owned a full-sized sword, but I have collected a few smaller ones, and maybe my interest in swords came when I saw this little samurai sword on my father's dressing table when I was a little boy. And this is a full replica of a Japanese sword. And it has a nice little sheath. It's made out of brass and steel. I imagine it was a letter opener at one time. But this little sword just fascinated me when I was a kid. And as any little child would say to their heart, I would like to have that someday. Well, I regret that I have it today because it means the loss of my father. But nevertheless, I do have it. And it does bring me back many memories of playing with a sword, imagining what a sword could do, and how powerful swords are. And the loveliness of this particular little sword. When I was in Spain a few years ago, I picked up a couple of these swords from Toledo, which is the capital of sword making in Spain. So if you have a Toledo sword, especially a full-sized one, you have something really good. So I have two different versions of Toledo swords. Again, these are just little letter openers. This is about all I can afford. One of my sons did bring home a full-size sword from Poland, from Krakow, Poland, years ago when we stopped in Krakow on the way home from a series of evangelistic meetings in Ukraine. So swords are special things, and they stimulate imagination if you are a young man. Of course, now in our day, it's guns. But I find that even young men, while they might have a gun collection and have a penchant for guns, they still like to have a knife. In fact, I was called up a few weeks ago by one of our parents and asked to come over and talk with their son. And so I did. And as we were talking into the later hours of the night, you're talking about a teenager, I was surprised to find that this individual had several knives on them. And then I ran into another teenager who had a couple different knives. And I said, why do you need all these knives? Well, that's just, it's just fun to have a knife. I used to carry a pocket knife with me all the time until I almost lost one that my father used to own at TSA at the airport. You know, you forget to take it out of your pocket, you go through checkout, and then they're going to take it away from you. But they allowed me to get out of line, find an envelope, and mail it home. All right? So I did not lose my father's buck knife that was many, many, many years old. So from that day on, I stopped carrying a pocket knife. And anyway, our passage of Scripture today has to do with swords and knives and cutting. All right? Very familiar passage. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, two-edged swords in Bible times and even in contemporary times is great, because if you have a two-edged sword, then it cuts when you are on the offensive, and it can cut on the offensive as you do a backswing to defend yourself. So it can chop on the way down, it can chop on the way up, it can chop horizontally, it can chop vertically, and it can pierce. Ah, that's why the Romans, it was standard equipment in the Roman army, two-edged sword. And here, God's Word is likened to a two-edged sword. In fact, Jesus has a two-edged sword coming out of His mouth in the book of Revelation. Reference to a two-edged sword, a sword that can cut two ways, is reoccurring imagery in Scripture. And here, the Scriptures itself is referred to as being sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice, it says it pierces even to the division of the soul and the spirit. How in the world can you cut between the soul and the spirit? Is there a difference? Can you separate the soul and the spirit? Can you separate it? Ah, and of the joints and the marrow. Now, I've cleaned marrow out of bones. Separate between the joints, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. All right, so now we've gone from the chopping, cutting, piercing, all right, the dividing, and now we have the reality that we move to not body parts or whatever, but we have creatures, beings. Living beings. There is no living being, okay? Hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I was in the fifth grade class the other day at our school, and the teacher was telling me about some things that students were dissecting, and they had fun dissecting things, and they wanted to know what they were going to dissect next year. Already. So when you start dissecting, when you start opening up things, you begin to see things that you don't normally see, right? And this is the reality of the penetrating, cutting parts of God's Word. And so God's Word, it's alive, it's active, piercing, it is judging, It has many dimensions to it. And ultimately, it lays bare. It exposes. It opens things up. Now, when I think of the Word of God, I think of the Word of God as sharper than the sharpest scalpel that any surgeon could ever have. Now, surgeons need to have steady hands. Some of us have seen movies or even have watched surgery, and we see that surgeon put his knife scalpel down and make that incision. Straight, not zigzaggy, but straight. And we know that when it comes to surgery, surgeons need to know where to start and where to finish. In fact, last Sabbath, during first service, I was called out and I was in the hospital room when a person died. Not a village member, but they had been in surgery and a tumor was being removed from their lung and an artery was nicked. And they could not replace the fluids as quickly as the blood was lost. So, a surgeon's steady hand is important, and especially when you get down to very delicate things. And that's why we have now in our day robotic surgery, where a doctor can sit at a screen and using a laparoscopic cameras can have the environment enhanced, enlarged, expanded, and then using tools, grips that mirror the dexterity and actually expand the dexterity of the human hand. They're called the Da Vinci robots. The surgeon can sit there and see better than he or she could normally, and because it is robotic, the movements are minuscule, just so very small, because it is a machine that is controlling and laser that is controlling the movement and not the human hand itself. Wow! Talk about precision surgery. Talk about the ability to get inside and to do it right so that you can cut out that cancerous cell and not disturb the good tissue on the other side. Wow! And so, now you have prostate and hysterectomy, cardiac surgery, neck surgery, eye surgery, brain surgery. Many things are being done, being assisted by robotic surgery. But that's not the end of it. You know, they'll take out a specimen, something that's been taken out, removed, that has cancerous material in it, and then it's put on a block and it's cut up in pieces, laid open like a piece of cut up like a loaf of bread, and then each slice then may only be a portion of a millimeter wide, and each slice then can be put on a microscope and explored as to what kind of details might be there. Things that shouldn't be part of the cellular makeup. It happens all the time. And God's Word, Scripture is implying that God's Word has this ability to do precision surgery and to fillet whatever part of us it might be focusing on in terms of our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Lay us bare, so to speak, so that it can be inspected clearly. before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But it even gets even more pointed than that, because our scripture tells us that the Word of God can pierce as much as the dividing of the soul and the spirit. And how in the world can you divide the soul and the spirit? So now we have nanosurgery. Surgery on the molecular level. Cutting on the molecular level. You're not just slicing through, you know, skin, but you are slicing through skin so thin, or through an object so small, that you are hardly disrupting the tissue around it. And so you can have laser surgery on a living embryo. Or you can have the axiom of a nerve being severed. Right, there you go. That's the axiom of a nerve. Brain, that's a nerve, and it's severed right there. By nanosurgery. Nanosurgery, you can liken it to compare a little marble to the size of the earth. Put the two together, earth, marble, and you now understand what nanosurgery is about. Cutting the world in half, or cutting a marble in half. And as far as the ratio, they say that a nano millimeter is the length to which a man's beard grows from the time he picks his razor up to shave. That's how small it is. And God's word is even sharper. Sharper. Somehow the Word of God is able to get inside of us. Our world of thought, our world of feelings, our emotions, our priorities, our values, our motives. Able to get inside of us. That there is soul surgery on the deepest level of our being. And not only is this soul surgery on the deepest level of our being, but it cuts into our lives, the way we think, our reasons, and who we really are. We come face to face with ourselves through the Word of God. Because God has brought us face to face with Himself. And the Word of God is able to come into us on that level. In fact, you will remember that the Scriptures tell us that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And the way in which the Word of God works in our lives sometimes is so subtle, it's like the Cutco knives dealer or salesman that called up the other day and said, "Hey, I want to come by and sharpen your Cutco knives." Well, we know what that means. Yes, we'll get our knives sharpened. We're on a higher list on the Cutco scale, which means that they will come and they will literally sharpen our knives, even the serrated ones. But we know that they want to sell us something too. And this guy will wind up selling something because we have a wedding on the horizon. And so there will be a purchase of something for as a wedding gift, all right? So he will make some money. But we got our knives sharpened. And as we're sitting there talking, he says, "Why do some of these knives have red tape on them?" And I said, "Oh, that's because when they're new, or when they've been sharpened, that's our way of warning everybody else, you better be careful. He says, oh yeah, that is so real. He says, these knives are so sharp. I was doing a demonstration once, and I was there, and I was even writing up the contract, and I accidentally nicked myself. He says, that knife was so sharp, I didn't even know that I cut myself until I saw the blood on the contract. And then he says the customer felt obligated to buy. He says, I guess I may need to do that more often, but I was it happened unexpectedly. And that is how the Word of God works. It penetrates, it pierces, it discerns, it speaks to us, it cuts into our hearts and our lives in unexpected ways. And the Word of God, I'll say this carefully, will always draw blood. And so it's intended. Now, here our passage, I want you to notice that in our passage it says here that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We usually think of that as the Scriptures, don't we? In fact, that's what we've been talking about so far. The Word of God is living, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. When you read the Word of God, the Word of God is a lethal weapon. It's a sword of the Spirit. But I want you to notice how there's a transition between verses 12 and 13. When we read verse 12, we're usually thinking about the written Word of God. But by the time we get to verse 13, we realize that this is not only the written Word of God that is in focus here, but this is also the living Word of God who is... Who's the living Word of God? Jesus Christ. All right? So there's a progression of imagery here. Hebrews has a very high view of the written Word of God. It quotes the Old Testament repeatedly and in the context of the Holy Spirit still speaking today. And so the written Word is in the mind. But, as we have learned in our journey in Hebrews, that Hebrews is about Jesus. But I want us to focus for a few moments on this imagery of living. Okay? That in the book of Hebrews, you have the living God. Repeatedly, God is referred to as the living God. And I love that imagery. That God is alive. And I trust that as we journey with God, that song, I serve a living Savior, He's in the world today. We do not handle dead truths. We do not handle facts and ideas. We are not called to talk about God. We are to express how God is at work in our lives and demonstrate that God is alive by what He is able to do in our lives. Scripture is living because the living God stands behind that. And so you have the living God, and then you have the living Word, and here you have... It's specifically said that the Word here is the living Word of God. It's living, and because it's living, it's active. And it's powerful. If it was dead, then it would stay dead. But the reality is the Scriptures are living, and they have power through them. And when you put the Word of God in your mind, it does not stay static. It's not just ideas. It does something to you, unlike any other book. It has the capacity to stretch your imagination and bring salvation and to energize one's being on the very deepest level. That's because the living God is behind the living Word. But ultimately, that living Word is the living Christ. in the book of Hebrews. You'll remember when we started our journey in Hebrews, Hebrews 1:2, God has spoken in His Son. And the very first message in Hebrews, I had this slide up. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. And I suggested that we, in the book of Hebrews, we encounter God's ultimate Word, which is Jesus Christ. And we are called to hear God's Word with faithful endurance, and that is Jesus Christ. So when we are reading the Scriptures, this is the voice of God speaking to our hearts. When we read Scriptures, this is Jesus speaking to us. When we read the Word of God, this is God revealing Christ to us, and Christ comes to us via the written Word of God. But ultimately, we are confronted with the reality of the living Christ. And this is the message of Hebrews. Just to put up a slightly adjusted perspective, looking at our context here today, God's rest in Christ, which was our message a couple weeks ago, that there is a Sabbath-like rest that remains for the people of God. If you want to know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and have true peace in Christ and cease from your works and to believe and experience Him in your life, then examine the Sabbath and the meaning of the Sabbath. That's what we learned a couple of weeks ago. Now, a Sabbath-like rest remains, Hebrews 4:9. All right? Throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, which will be our message next week. A high priestly work of Jesus Christ. Squeezed between this reference to the Sabbath-like rest and a throne of grace, all right, is this discussion about encountering God's ultimate Word and how we hear God's Word with faithful endurance. This is what this passage is all about. How in the world can we experience the rest that God has in mind for His people? Salvation, the fullness of peace and inner tranquility of which the Sabbath points to as an archetype. How does it happen? Well, that rest comes to us through our exposure to the living Word of God. Behind that living Word of God stands our living Savior. And so this Word of God that will always draw blood, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, which penetrates into the very deep recesses of our very hearts, is not there to fillet us and leave us lay, exposed and embarrassed, guilty and shame, and lost, and full of fear. No, the Word of God is there to nick us where we need to be nicked. Draw the blood where it needs to be drawn so that we can see the blood that we need and understand the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So this rest, this Sabbath-like rest that remains for the people of God, is experienced in the living Word of God and the living priest towards which that Word points our minds and our imagination to. Nothing soothes the soul like the Word of God. Nothing can bring greater hope and peace to the human heart. Nothing can bring more rest for the soul than to hear the words of Jesus, His promises, His love, and what He has for us as a people. So, God's rest in Christ. Soul surgery is often painful, but it is a vital part of the process which leads us to God's rest in Christ. The soul surgery of which this passage speaks is difficult. But the intended purpose of that is so that we can find much peace in Jesus Christ. And so, we are brought face to face with ourselves. And we are brought face to face with our living Savior. And we are brought face to face with ourselves and face to face with Him, so that all things are laid bare, so that we can understand the fullness of the need of a Savior, the great confidence that we have in Jesus, and why it's important that today if we hear His voice, today is the day to respond to Jesus. Have you ever watched surgery on your own body? I did once. I had some tumors on my arm. Doctor wanted to make sure that it was just fatty kind of tissues and nothing malignant. So I went into an outpatient surgery situation and they took my arm over here and I said, "Why do that?" I said, "Just do it over here so I can see." "All right, you sure?" I said, "Well, why not?" So he made a cut here, and then he popped out that fatty tissue, and he made a cut here and popped that out, and I watched it happen. That cutting was not convenient, but it was for a purpose. That this work of my doctor in my behalf was for my benefit. So, cutting can heal. Many times individuals say, "I'm not going to go under the surgeon's knife." But sometimes the surgeon's knife creates the context of which we find extended life. But in the context of Scripture, the surgeon's knife, the work of Jesus in our life through His Word, not just extends our life, it gives us eternal life. Steve Vail has been holding a series of meetings in Holland, and he shared with me last week that there's a law enforcement person that's been attending his meetings. And I won't go into a lot of detail because this gentleman has not yet He's not yet in the baptistry, although he has said that this is where he's headed. And when that story is complete, maybe I can tell you some more because it's connected to some individuals here in Berrien Springs even. But what was fascinating to me is part of this man's journey was that he was literally dying. He was written off as dead. He was written off as needing to come to an end of his career and just going home and dying. And this highly professional man who's had experience in the military and so forth, this highly experienced man, finally took the Bible that his mother had given him years before. He had never opened it. He says, "I'm dying. What do I have to lose except to find some peace and a point of reference as I approach death?" But the story as it unfolds is that the more this individual read the Bible, the healthier he got. He literally read Scripture and it brought physical healing. What a testimony. What an incredible testimony of how this Word of God that can scare the wits out of us, and we're afraid sometimes to read it, And we're afraid sometimes to obey it because we know if we read it, it's going to prick us. It's going to draw blood. But yet, because it is living, it has the capacity to impart life. And with the Holy Spirit's presence and power, it can impart life into the very deepest recesses of our very being. And at the very deepest recesses of our being, where it imparts life, there we can experience the living Christ and have confidence to hold fast our confession in Him until He comes. Amen? We could tell many stories. You know, the author behind that song, Amazing Grace, you know, he was a rabble-rouser. He hated people. He was a slave trader. He was brutal. And you find, you know, in a point of crisis in his life, the Word of God speaks and he responds and he is healed emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And he experiences the rest of grace. And so, nothing can reveal my inner world more to me than the Word of God. No one can lay my soul open more than Jesus. No one can place me in the context of my need, of sensing my need of a Savior and the rest that He alone provides than the Word of God. Nothing can cause me or invite me to surrender my soul more to God than the Word of God. And so, as Hebrews will say repeatedly today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. And today, I will say, give me the Bible. Give it to me. And I will let it do its work in my life.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.